This is a Boardwalk Audio Podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red Suckers!
Big Red
Suckers!
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red
Suckers!
Big Red
Suckers! Pat, Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast
with
Mr. Gully unemployed. Big Red
Suckers!
Big Red
Suckers!
Big Red
Suckers!
Yeah!
Hot Huskers!
Big Red.
I'm Pat.
Hey, Xavier Watts sucks.
It's Watt, I think. Or is it Watts?
You know what? I don't have to learn.
No, it
his
is
name.
Watts. It's Watts. I was correcting everyone today. It's Watts. It's Watts.
Okay.
Anyway, he's not a Husker.
Nope.
At least not currently.
Yeah.
There's always room for potential decommitments.
Yeah.
But you know what? We said this earlier. This isn't a sour grapes thing. I'll take every quality recruit Nebraska can get, especially, you know, if they're their home state guy. You don't want them going to Iowa and scoring a million touchdowns on the Huskers.
Yeah.
But Xavier Watts is a very polished and intelligent wide receiver. You wonder if that has created his ceiling already for him. Am I too close to the microphone?
Yeah, I took those things off. So now it pops. You got to be a fist away.
Got it. So I think Xavier Betts has a much higher ceiling than Xavier Watts. Xavier Betts being the one who is currently committed to Nebraska, who may never end up in Nebraska, depending on grade situations.
He doesn't do the schools too good.
You know, earlier in our Facebook Live, you mentioned Mo Washington and championship teams eventually kind of finding ways
to make people eligible.
Yeah.
Betts is going to be a, if mark my words, if Betts is playing next year and Washington's playing this year, we're back, baby.
Yeah. I do worry a little bit about Xavier Betts and his, he was crushing things on those recruit camps and everything, and then he hurt his ankle real bad.
Yeah.
I hope that's all right.
He scored in the 99th percentile.
That's nuts.
That's almost as good as I used to do.
He doesn't necessarily look it when you look at him either.
Uh-uh.
Like, he's a tall, rangy guy.
Well, you know why he doesn't look like it? Because he's 17. No 17-year-old kid is intimidating.
And he's got weird-looking hair.
Hmm.
So I think that
they always the best players always have weird looking hair.
Do they?
Dennis Rodman.
He wasn't the best player though.
Yes,
he was a hell of a rebounder.
He was the best rebounder. Abdullah.
Michael Jordan.
Hitler stash. Abdullah had dreads. Remember when he first started?
Yeah. Well, Michael Jordan also really popularized the bald headed look too.
Did he?
Yeah. People weren't going bald. It was like him and Xavier McDaniel in the NBA. That's it.
Yeah.
And then eventually Barkley.
The Boz. Cool
yeah.
hair.
You love that mullet?
I like Mohawk, yeah. That's what it was, wasn't it? Like a full on like mullet.
I think
mullet.
At a certain point it became that, yeah.
Yeah. I want to go on the record now as saying that I'm not a pretender like Pat is.
Okay, go on. What do you mean?
Fuck Xavier Watt. Sour grapes all over the place in this
bitch.
Well,
let's wait till signing day to say that.
No.
I waited until Wandale. I wanted to let that whole situation pass.
No, Patch is mad because every time this happens, we lose 40 followers. Because
no, no, no,
I
no, no,
say.
No. Once Xavier Watts suits up for Notre Dame, then yes.
Okay.
Fuck Xavier Watts. Even more so if he ended up at Iowa.
I'm so nervous to say that.
Like,
it hurt you a little bit.
No. But he doesn't play for anybody yet besides Omaha Burke.
You're a 17-year-old kid and you're stupid. You're stupid, stupid. You're so dumb and stupid and ugly and fat. And what else 17-year-old kids don't want to hear? You suck at video games. Learn how to change a car tire, you idiot.
This isn't about that you lost us 50 followers for calling Noah Fant a fat dog eating his own shit.
Yeah, that is what I called him. That is what he looked like. It's what, did you see the, you saw the picture?
I saw the picture. Yes. He looked like kind of a pug.
Like a kind of a stupid pug that's so stupid it eats its own shit.
And then people being like, well, you're just jealous because he makes more. Sure. Sure.
I guess.
But you know what? I never had to wear the Iowa colors.
Yeah, no shit. And also, I live in LA. If you think I'm jealous of money, Noah Fant's $100,000, $1 million is nothing to what I see every day. Nothing. He wouldn't even be like LA. LA
but
is
there's also a lot of pretend rich out here, too.
Oh, for sure. But you can't pretend a Lamborghini.
True.
I live in the hood. And the
you might rent one, though.
You could rent one. I don't think you can. I think you have to drive those on tracks. I don't think you can, like, go down to, like, Cars R Us and rent a Lamborghini Diablo.
I don't know that you could just walk up to an Avis and say, can I get your finest Lambo?
Yeah. No, I want your shittiest Lambo because I'm going to fuck in the seats. I'm going to stain the shit out of this car.
That would be, practically speaking, a terrible car to try and have sex in.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have to do much. You just have to turn it on, put it in neutral, hit the gas a couple times.
Oh, so you're not even gonna be involved in?
Nah, man.
Okay, got it. I just don't know that there's enough room to really make it happen in the traditional sense.
Yeah, there's definitely enough room. I'll make room. I'll find a way.
See, I'm 6.5 feet tall. I need. Give me your Yukon.
Don't you drive like one of those cars?
Chrysler 200? Yeah.
You have to pick it up and rub it against the street a couple times before it'll go.
I'm not one of those rich people you speak of. I felt the earthquake in a studio apartment.
I felt the earthquake outside.
Yeah. Where were you?
Right outside.
Yeah.
By my garage.
That fucker didn't stop.
No, it lasted forever, man. The first one lasted. I was in Lulu's getting breakfast.
Yeah.
And everybody pulled out their phone and started recording. And I was like, you guys are fucking idiots.
See, no, my wife has a million frames on the wall. None of them fell.
Yeah, none of my stuff fell.
TV stayed set. I could see shit rocking, though. Just nothing that was going to fall on my temple, though. So much appreciated, Mother Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
See, we're just trying to keep kids like Xavier Watts and all those homegrown Husker kids from, you know, deciding they want to go to California.
Here's my thing. If I get wanting to leave Nebraska, get that.
We don't live in Nebraska.
So I'm not going to fault you for that. But here's the thing. I don't expect anybody in Nebraska to cheer for me to have a good life because.
But they have because they love through these gates.
That's true. About Nebraska.
Right.
Like, I guess here's my thing.
There's no bigger stab in the back to Nebraskans than
to go play. Like, I mean, yeah, you could have gone to Iowa. You could be Noah Fant. Noah Fant is far worse than Xavier Watt.
Right.
Noah Fant is, you know what I'll say? He's the Hitler of Nebraska.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He is. No, he's the Stalin of Nebraska because he killed his own people.
Ooh.
And a lot. He broke the hearts of millions of Huskers.
Here's the thing. People, you also are presumably out there, all adult human beings. If you want to root for Xavier Watts, whatever, but
yeah,
like,
be a sucker. I get it.
But like,
he doesn't love you.
I get people like Paul Lamangi, the coach at Omaha Burke, or people at Omaha Burke rooting for him.
Yes.
If you're a Burke Bulldog, by all means, root for Xavier Watts. Yeah. He's one of you. And you know, you're all from that same.
Yeah. But just remember, when the rubber meets the road, whose side is he on?
Right. If Chris Kelce had Michigan in like his top two, I would have rooted for Chris as an individual if he had ended up elsewhere besides Nebraska.
Not me. I'd fight him. I'd fight Chris Kelce.
If Nebraska and Michigan were to then ever play each other, I would root for Nebraska like hell. Like,
yeah, I'd take a sign to the stadium that says, eat your own shit, you fat dog. That's what I would have taken.
Well, you got to start coming up with something different for these guys.
No, they're all the same.
You can't use the same thing for Noah Fant that you'd use for Chris Kelce.
Yeah, the same thing. They both look like stupid dogs that eat their own shit.
But they don't. Only one of them does because Chris is an Adonis who played for Nebraska.
That's right. That's right. But if he had gone to Iowa, that's what Iowa does to you. It's in the water. The water makes you look like a fat dog.
Well, he didn't consider Iowa, though. It was Michigan.
Well, that's probably what Michigan water does, too. I can't speak to Michigan water.
Well, I mean, Michigan has a lot of problems with their water.
They probably busted in from Flint. Somebody's got to drink that water. They give it to the out-of-state guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
This whole... Also,
but people did that shit, though, like with Jameer Calvin and guys like that. Like,
why are you cheering for Jameer Calvin, stupid ass?
You can be classy.
Or Bookie.
You can be classy or whatever. You don't have to be like, fucking eat shit, Bookie. But also, you don't have to be like, I'll root for you at Oklahoma. No, he plays for Oklahoma now.
Yeah, I don't.
He's got fans. He's got fans at Oklahoma. You root for DiCaprio Boodle if you're a Husker fan.
I don't think you should ever tweet. If you want to talk shit to high school players, you have to get your own podcast and do it there. That's the only way you can do it. You should definitely not do it on Twitter.
At least make them... someone's got to earn hearing themselves being insulted.
Yeah.
You got to listen 20 minutes and then...
But no, and in all honesty, knowing now, realizing that Xavier Watt, somebody that knows him or loves him could hear this, I don't care. Good for you to go to Notre Dame. However, I'm not going to cheer for you. But I'm not mad at you. I get why you did it.
That's the way it should be.
But I'm not, I don't feel that I'm obligated to be like, go Xavier Watt. I don't know you, right?
It's not even your high school.
Not even my high school. It's in a city that I barely even claim.
Yeah, I'm
Omaha
I'm
is might as well be part of Iowa.
No,
it might
don't
as
do
well
that. Don't
be.
Do that. No, don't do
it
that.
It might as well be. It's basically Des Moines with common sense.
You, ooh, now it's, we're losing, now it, we're bleeding followers.
It's Ames Light.
I can't do this.
It's,
stop it, Skip Bayless.
Oh, shit.
You're just trying to piss people off now.
I am.
And
I like
you know
Skip
what?
Bayless.
You know what? You've done it, too.
I guarantee it.
You like Skip Bayless?
I like shit talkers.
Yeah, but he's terrible at it.
But he's great at it. His takes are shit, but he is great. Jim Rome is another one. I lost a little respect to Jim Rome when Chris Everett went after him.
And then he just like
fucking screamed like a little girl. Okay. I don't respect. Here's the thing. If you talk a bunch of shit, you know, and then the guy comes at you, take it like a man. It's what you get for talking shit.
And swing back.
So maybe. Certainly don't cry.
Well, let's be honest here. Jim Everett was a pro-style quarterback.
Oh, yeah, it was Jim Everett.
Well, he called him Chris.
He called him Chris Everett.
Because Chris was a women's tennis player.
That shit's funny, dude. That's some fucking funny shit.
Well, there are two critiques here, one for each party. If you're Jim Everett, don't
attack.
Don't show that he's getting under your skin like that.
Right.
That's why he keeps calling you Chris Everett. And then, like, he got exactly what he wanted.
I actually respect Jim Everett because here's the thing. If somebody starts talking shit, I believe you should always give them a warning. Something to the take of, like, stop doing that or I'm going to slap the shit out of you. They deserve
that. Which was almost the exact quote.
Yeah. Like, they deserve that much. People deserve, because some people don't understand how annoying they are. They think they're being funny. So you have to give them, aside from someone touching you or your loved ones, you have to warn them, I feel. Once you warn them, you have to follow through with your threat. If I tell you, if you do this one more time, I'm going to slap the shit out of you, and then you do it one more time, and I don't slap the shit out of you, then I'm a bitch. because I made a threat I wasn't really willing to follow through on. So you so Jim Everett had to. He had to go after him.
Yeah.
That's what leaders do.
But also, like, he's a fairly large dude as a pro style quarterback, but come on, man, he wasn't Lawrence Taylor. Like, you don't have to go under the table like that.
Oh, I mean, dude, $20 says he puts him in the hospital. Two punches. One, a good old 1-2 is gonna send old Jim Rome into the hospital. He's a little guy.
Yeah.
He's a little guy.
I'm not a big Jim Rome guy.
I mean, it's more
the delivery and the style. Same reason that Colin Cowherd bothers me. It's just like this, it just all feels so canned.
Colin Cowherd, I like. Stephen A. Smith, I like. I don't agree with them.
Yeah.
I'm glad they exist.
Their point is not to be there for you to agree with them.
Right.
But if you're going to offer a contrarian take, research it so it at least makes sense.
No, full emotion. 100% emotion all the time. Let the guys from PTI do the research. Let those suckers do the research.
But they're there just to be contrarians too.
Let the Pat Jansons of the world do the research with their photographic memory. Let Pat Jansen do it, okay? The Ryan Tweedies, the Colin Cowards, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world. Pure emotion, pure bullshit, except for when they're right, which is a lot of the time.
Do you know Jim Everett was a Big Ten guy?
Jim Everett played for Michigan, right?
Purdue.
I knew that. That's what I meant. Purdue, Michigan. They're very similar.
They both have a version of gold in their uniform.
And they're both right next to each other.
Mm, kind of.
Purdue.
He's doing a map on his hand in case those of you listening on this audio-only podcast couldn't see.
Yeah, I don't know. Xavier Watt, I don't care. Whatever. Like, hey, if you're his parents, you're his friends, you're his family, you're his coaches, you care about him, you should be proud of him because what he's doing is something that chumps like me can't do.
Yeah.
However, if you think I'm going to cheer for him as a Husker fan, you're out of your goddamn mind.
Yeah. It's not like we were rooting for any of the number of kids like from small towns, like Drew Ott or Nathan Budgeta, who ended up at Iowa. No.
Yeah, a high three-star?
Xavier Watts? Yeah.
Yeah. He wouldn't even be on our big board.
He's a very...
If he wasn't a Nebraska kid.
He's a very smart and skill-oriented wide receiver who, you know, has...
Can't teach speed.
Right. He doesn't have the ceiling that some other wide receivers were after do. Now, you could say the same thing about a guy like Jerry Rice. He didn't have top end speed, but he was a technician.
And he was 18 feet tall, too.
No.
Yeah, he was very tall, wasn't he?
No, he was probably 6'2".
Google it, 18. He was like 17'7" or something like that.
You're feeling good today.
Yeah, a little bit.
is it the long holiday weekend?
Maybe. Also, I don't have anything to do after this.
Man, I called that 6'2".
Oh, okay.
But I mean, sure, that's pretty tall.
You sure it's not 16'2"?
That's still pretty tall, but like he didn't have like burn you speed.
You
but
know what
just,
I don't understand?
What?
I'm 5'10 and a half, right?
Yeah.
Thought I was 5'11 my whole life. Apparently I'm not.
All right.
So if you're 6'2", you're this much bigger than me. Maybe that much bigger.
About that much, yeah.
Okay. That's nothing. So why do women care so much about that?
Well, it's not that distant. It's not that difference in length and the height that's concerning them. It's that difference in length elsewhere.
Oh, that's not. I guarantee that's not what they're worried about. You can have, let's say you're 6'6". Let's say your dick is 9.5 inches long. It's also probably proportionally the same width, like girthy as you. So it's like having a really long pencil. It's like having, you got a 16 inch pencil in there. You can fuck her from across the room, but you're not touching either of the walls. You know what I'm saying?
That's not how any of this has ever gone down.
All right. Well, the ladies are listening. They know how it works.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Well, but hey, man, that's very disrespectful.
What?
To say that about, you know, you and your wife. I wasn't saying that. I'm saying that your dick is a pencil. It's very different. No, this is
I'm not,
not
throwing a pencil into a vagina.
Okay, there we go.
Is that
I feel like the way I said it
better for you.
I feel like the way I said it was not commenting on your wife, but the way you said it was a commentary on your wife.
No. someone coming up to your house?
I think Irina's leaving to go get beef to make me some beef jerky. We just got a food dehydrator. Nice. I showed it to you, yeah.
Yeah. You share food a lot of times. I might
you probably will get some of that beef jerky, assuming it's still here next week.
Yeah.
What else?
we hit a wall here.
Yeah, we've covered Xavier Watts. So you think these players are going to come back? So you think we're going to swing around afterwards 8-0 or 8-1 or 9-1? You think we're going to swing around and pick up some of the people that aren't on board yet that jumped onto other teams?
Potentially. It could do any number of things. I don't know that Xavier Watts is going to back out of his commitment to Notre Dame without something happening to Brian Kelly. But I will say there are flips that are going to happen. I think Nebraska, the way they've set themselves up, it's sort of antithetical to the Riley regime, where we're more likely to flip other guys than teams are to flip our guys.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think we have any flight risks.
I don't think they'd let flight risks sign.
Well, I mean, we got Wandale. He was a flip-flopper.
Well, but he wasn't a flip-flopper.
But, I mean, in a literal sense, I mean, he was.
He signed to Kentucky.
He committed to Kentucky.
He committed to Kentucky. Everybody knew he didn't want to commit to Kentucky.
Right.
Everybody knew that Vince Morrow, some way or another, put money into his dad's pocket. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to, but that's the rumor. So
I wasn't denying it.
I know, but I'm the people out there listening. I'm like, oh, shut up with the bag, man. You probably think the earth is flat. And it is.
Now you are going Skip Bayless on us.
Dinosaurs don't exist.
Well, not anymore.
Were you there?
Yeah.
So prove to me the dinosaurs existed. Were you there?
Jurassic Park.
Movie. It's a movie, you idiot. What were we talking about?
Vince Morrow.
And then he came to Nebraska and then stayed. But, like, it was like he flipped. Like, yeah, he went there, but then he flipped to us almost immediately.
Well, you knew once the flip happened, there probably wasn't another flip. But I think again, that's indicative of, one, certain types of player they're recruiting, but also, two, the way Nebraska recruits people. They want to make sure you're comfortable as hell.
They're no hard sell.
Yeah, when you pull that trigger. And there's a lot of, like, people talking in awe of the way Nebraska does that lack of a hard sale.
Because they know. It's confidence, man.
Well, they want to make sure. If you push too hard at a certain point, there is potentially that flight risk. And then you're up a shit creek without a paddle when a guy just jumps ship a month before. Like, you want to make sure everyone on the boat is going to stay in that boat.
Right.
And Nebraska does that really, really well.
Yeah.
And Mike Riley got a lot of big time commitments, but a lot of those big time commitments didn't turn into big time signings because it was, you know, come on. And then eventually they leave. You know, some of that happens when you go 4-8.
And some of that happens when you trade your coach.
Right.
Or fire your coach, I should say. There wasn't much of a trade involved.
for a coach to be named later.
Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to think of a good example, like a good analogy. So, like, you remember Craftsman? I think it was Craftsman Tools.
Yeah.
They had a lifetime warranty.
Okay.
They had enough confidence in their product that basically all they said was, like, this hammer's $7 and it has a lifetime warranty. That was it. And people just were like, oh, I'm going to buy that hammer. It's got a lifetime warranty, right? maybe they sniff around some of these other hammers and they can see that they're flimsier or that they don't have a lifetime warranty and they're hard selling them, you know, like the company's like, buy this hammer. This is the best hammer you ever had. Meanwhile, Craftsman's not saying shit, but it's got a lifetime warranty, right?
Yeah.
Like I feel like with Scott Frost, there's an element of, I know I'm going to get so much shit on Twitter for that analogy, but I don't care.
There's no, well, I mean, we're all more likely to get that this week because there's no Joe
to steal the idiot dumbass thunder. Scott Frost is one of those things where it's like, so while you're over there making a decision, we're going to be over here preparing to win championships. Let me know when you're ready and we'll show you what we're doing. But it's literally no more than that. And it makes that person go, but Alabama's hard selling me. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Iowa's hard selling me. Kansas State's hard selling me. Why are these guys not hard selling me? And then you start kind of like looking over the fence, like, well, what are you guys doing over there?
Well, and you don't get to do that without some level of success like Scott Frost had at UCF.
Right. Or some level of
confidence doesn't read as confidence if you don't have success to back it up. Which is why I think it's really important to break through this year, because eventually it just looks like bullshit. And
that's probably true, yeah.
Yeah, so I think...
What do you call it when you have a little bit of success, then you go to Minnesota and you suck dick?
Well, he had a better record than we did last year.
Did he?
Yeah.
We beat him though, right?
Yeah, by a lot.
Yeah.
He's got to get PJ Fleck's got to get that quarterback situation figured out, or else he's going to be a short timer.
More like PJ Black.
Well, you stumbled kind of onto something too that I think is really important. You talk about lifetime warranty. The closest thing you can get to a lifetime warranty for a coach and guaranteeing that he's going to be there for a long time
is if he's Scott Frost.
Scott Frost at Nebraska.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Jimbo Fisher at A&M, maybe. Harbaugh at Michigan.
I don't think Jimbo is anywhere near. They busted out a shit ton of money because they want immediate success now. The only thing that would keep them from firing Jimbo is just like, do we have any more money? That's it.
But isn't that his home? Isn't that his alma mater?
No, he's from LSU.
What was the, then why'd he choose? I thought he chose.
He chose A&M because they offered him the most fucking money.
Oh, well then fuck Jimbo Fisher. Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, although him not, the parallel would be if Scott Frost went like 5 years without being able to beat Iowa. Because that's kind of where Michigan fans are with Harbaugh right now, because he can't beat Ohio State.
No, that's where the vocal minority.
No, that game is really important. Not only Ohio State, he's been terrible against Michigan State, too. Like, he's been terrible against the two opponents that matter most to them. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, you're exactly right. And he's in that same kind of boat. But when you have two big-time rivals and you lose to both of them all the time, that shit's going to get old.
Yeah, they're not going to fire him anytime soon. He's got at least 4 more years, minimum.
It really depends on how the next couple years go.
I think he's going to be the next Joe Pa of the Big Ten. He's going to let one of his coaches.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know,
not that. Cheat or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it.
I can't believe that's what you think of when someone says Penn State.
Oh, speaking of shitty universities, did you see what Mel Tucker said about Nebraska?
Yeah. That sounds like a guy that's in over his head.
He sounds very...
desperate.
So I get it.
He's begging high school kids to come to Colorado.
I get why he's saying what he's saying from his point as the Colorado head coach.
I get why he's thinking what he's thinking. I do not understand why he would say that out loud.
Well, so what he, for anybody who didn't catch it, Mel Tucker said, like, well, one, he's also said, I don't do negative recruiting. But then within that same article is like,
Why is everybody going to Nebraska? They're stupid and suck.
Well, they listen. He's talking about all these kids who put Nebraska in their top 10. He's like, what have they done? And
they hired Scott Frost, you fucking idiot.
And I get we as a program haven't done shit in the last decade.
If you don't recognize that Scott Frost is one of the best up-and-coming coaches in college football right now,
right.
You don't get. You shouldn't be a coach. Well, there's a reason that Urban Meyer and Nick Saban and those guys say positive things about Scott Frost.
Yeah. Well, what has Nebraska done? They opened the checkbook for a guy with head coaching experience and success as a head coach. What has Colorado done? They hired a guy who's never been a head coach except as an interim for the Jacksonville Jaguars after they fired their coach.
And I didn't know that. That's really fucking funny. So I interviewed
Mel Tucker.
No, I wish. I didn't know who the hell he was until this article came out.
Honestly, I thought he was probably some old white Southern guy.
Yeah, with a name like Mel Tucker.
And then he's like just a young African American dude.
More like Mel Cucker.
I expected some fat guy with three chins, not like a guy who looked like he could not quite keep up with Scott Frost in a bench press.
He couldn't keep up with Scott Frost.
No, he would not be able to.
It was either Michael Severe or Sipple. I think it was Severe that said it. He laid out everything about the Scott Frost hire, like one after another. And when you look at it on paper, it sounds made up.
Such as?
Born in Nebraska.
Yep.
High school champion in track and field, high school football stud, quarterback.
Yeah.
Number one recruit in the state. Tries to go to Nebraska. They won't give him the playing time. So goddamn smart, gets into Stanford, plays under Bill Walsh, one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Transfers to Nebraska. Plays under Tom Osborne, arguably the most winningest football coach of all time, depending on whose stat you look at and what stat you count and all that stuff, right?
Right.
And wins a national championship in spite of being booed, has the catch. All these things
that drive to lead to the Matt Davison catch was fucking unreal.
Unreal, right? Destroys Peyton Manning. He's then smart enough to go to the NFL as a safety, unlike other running quarterbacks shortly after him that didn't do the same thing. Went to the NFL as a safety, plays in the NFL under some of the best defensive coaches in the country, defensive minds in the country, offensive minds in the country, starts coaching, coaches with Mike Tomlin, amazing defensive coach, coaches with all these different, I can't even list all of them right now off the top of my head.
Chip Kelly offensively.
Offensively, yeah, I mean, puts a quarterback in a short stint as an OC, puts a quarterback, gets a quarterback
to
Heisman.
The connection to Tomlin was while he was playing in the NFL.
Oh, was it? I thought he was a coach for Tomlin.
No.
Oh, shoot, my bad.
But he coached on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, all this stuff.
The other thing I respect, too, is like hearing Christian Peter and Charlie McBride talk about how he was basically, because he left the state and came back, it was like going through like a prison gang ritual, like where they beat the holy hell out of him to make sure you're with us.
Yeah.
And he did, and he earned the respect.
Right. But then you take all that stuff. That right there is just like a crazy good movie. Then Nebraska fires Pelini because shit's going to hell, right? Starts plummeting down. Riley takes over. Riley, at that same time, Scott Frost is on the come up, okay?
Yeah.
Then, the exact moment that we need to fire Riley, Scott Frost goes undefeated at a
group of five
school and goes undefeated the exact same time. Group is six, right?
Yeah. A
non-power five conference, thank you. And so all this stuff happens exactly the way it has to, exactly when it has to, for him to be our head coach. The chances of that ever happening again are so slim. So slim. It's almost like it was Nebraska's destiny to become the greatest football team in the history of college football.
I honestly think if this Nebraska thing hadn't happened when it did, Frost would have stayed at UCF one more year to try and break through into the playoffs with that roster.
And he probably would have.
Yeah. The thing that gets me... Because
they barely beat Milton. Was it LSU? LSU that beat him?
Yeah. When UCF was down to their second string quarterback.
Yeah, without Milton.
Yeah.
And they barely beat him.
Yeah. The thing that drives me nuts are people who are like, who want to act like Scott Frost had nothing to do with that. Like Josh Heupel coming in.
Yeah.
And, you know, credit to Heupel for being able to still harness a lot of that. But honest to God, that culture was set up for him. Like people being so fucking hard on Frost last year and then giving Heupel all this fucking credit. It's like, hey man, you got to kind of look at what each person walked into. Scott Frost walked into, I mean, he walked into a garbage situation.
Well, look what he did to Nebraska in 1 year.
And well, see, that's the thing. People look at it and they're like 4-8 to 4-8. Well, nothing happened there.
Except that it's not.
That's not how it went down.
That's the thing. We lost 5 of those games by like less than a touchdown, right?
I got to double check that.
And then we were out against Michigan. We didn't have our starting quarterback.
Well, he played. Adrian played against Michigan, but it was his first game back.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, we lost to Northern.
We lost to Troy.
To Troy. Not Northern Illinois. To Troy with homeboy.
Bunch. And the thing of it is, too, Verduzco has clarified this. He's like, Andrew Bunch playing as Andrew Bunch doesn't lose that game. But when your next option is Matt Masker, a true freshman walk-on from Kearney Catholic, you have to treat Bunch a little bit differently. Because he said, Bunch is a better runner than passer, but we couldn't do anything with him on that. And like we had to play so conservatively with Bunch that he's like, people got not a real great read on Andrew Bunch as a quarterback. He's a better one than that game showed, but they just had to change their game plan a lot.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm just so ready. I'm so ready for this season.
Yeah, dude.
There's so much shit talk online. I want to shut so many people up. Colorado fans.
Or I want to know if I should just
not
give
be
up
a
hope.
Fan anymore.
I'll never, it's impossible for me to not be a fan. The Riley years proved that.
Yeah.
Really, honestly, from like 2004 to 2015 proved that.
Yeah.
2016. But we'll see, man. It's hard because it's hard for me to be like, I look at everything, I go, Scott Frost probably going to win 8-9 games next year, at least. If not, I think we could win the big, like.
There will be a lot of 50-50s, I think.
I don't think so.
I think that
the teams that are going to be the hardest for us are the ones with the high-powered offenses. I would rather play Penn State than Purdue.
Maryland probably fits into that a little bit too. But it's funny, like there was a Maryland fan talking shit to us this week.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from? But I don't know. I'm just ready to start answering some of these questions.
Anybody that says Nebraska ain't shit, you automatically just know they don't pay attention to college football.
Yeah.
If you don't see what Scott Frost is building, either you're lying, you're just straight up ignoring it because it's more fun to ignore and talk shit, which I get, or you're an idiot.
Well, if it's someone from Colorado, it's probably both.
Yeah.
We lost 4 games by a single possession last year.
Yeah.
So
think about that. So we were basically a series away from being 8-4.
Well, and the other thing of it is, too, losing by 14 with this offense is like losing by one possession.
Yeah.
I just want to get some of these currently unanswerable questions answered, because I
want to know what's going to happen with Washington.
Until then. What's that?
Washington.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much. Like, I'm kind of nervous.
Can Scott Frost keep everybody mentally in check with all the hype? If they go 5-0, can he keep their nerves in check?
Yeah. The snowball will start running downhill at that point. The fact that they were able to keep the losing snowball from getting too out of hand last year is a huge credit to them. But there's such a, like, you get that positive vibe kind of going. Like, you saw that UCF season.
Yeah.
And I think there's something there that they just seem to have fun.
Dude,
I think it's great, too, that the person getting the most hype is Adrian Martinez, because I think he's the most grounded player on that team.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fucking man.
Yeah, he's a grown man. I'm excited for next season because I think there's the potential. It's not likely, but there is the potential for a magical fucking ride next season.
Yeah, I almost wonder if the best case scenario is just short of that magical ride to sort of a la Florida State 93, or Nebraska versus Florida State 93, like just short of it, so you can see the potential for it, still have that taste, like, and that flavor.
Like lose to Penn or lose to Michigan in the Big Ten championship by 3 points. Go to a New Year's Six Bowl. Go to the fucking Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Would that be dope to have a carpool. Husker tailgate? Fuck a carpool. Irina's dropping us off and picking us up. Dude, if we go to the Rose Bowl next year, I have a guest bedroom for any fans. 20 fans can sleep in my guest bedroom.
If we go to the Rose Bowl next year, I'll meet you at the stadium. It's been mentioned that I live in a studio.
No, I'm kidding. You can't stay here. I lied. My wife would not allow that.
But you got room for one.
No, but I might be my brother, probably.
Oh.
But you could sleep in my garage. I bet you I could make that happen.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you don't want to pay for a hotel.
You could sleep in the back seat of my car.
Yeah. You could pull out you could lay the seats down on my Jeep. That's what I do when I go camping.
Yeah. Just don't jerk off in my car, please.
You can jerk off in my Jeep. As long as you do it into it. As long as you do it into the carpet.
So if you think that you're going to feel self-amorous.
That means jerk off. If you think you're going to jerk off.
Stay in Tweety's car. If you think you can contain it or do it in another place, like outside the stadium, then you can stay in my car.
I live right next door to some hookers. So.
Well, that's a whole different ball of wax from jerking off.
You cannot bang hookers in my Jeep.
See, that's where we veer. I say, want to have sex with a hooker? There's some who have shown up at my apartment before, mistakenly thinking I ordered them.
That's weird.
You heard that story, right?
You told me that story.
It happened like 8 times and then just stopped.
I've got the kind of hookers, you've seen them before around here.
Yeah.
That fuck homeless guys in tents.
Oh.
So they're not very high-end hookers.
What are they getting paid with?
I don't know. I'm guessing
herpes?
Money. I'm guessing money. $20 probably. I don't know how much hookers. I don't know how much street hookers
go get
go
yourself
for.
Some baked beans, man.
Oh. They're homeless, man. Homeless people. Here's the thing. Go to another country and look at the homeless people. They're starving to death. Homeless people here, especially in California, they're fine. They're going to be all right. It's warm. They're fat. They're 26. They're prime working age. There's a wanted sign in the Big Lots.
I don't think Big Lots is going to hire a guy who can't print off a resume.
You think that Big Lots requires a resume?
I don't know, man. It's hard to find jobs out here.
No, it's not.
It took me a while.
Hey, you weren't trying hard enough. You were trying to find job. You were trying to find minimum wage jobs.
No, I found some. I was trying to at certain points.
Well, then you could have tried harder. And also, you're at a disadvantage because you have, if you were honest about your work experience and your, they can, like, I try, during 2008 when they had the recession, I tried to get a job at Target, a second job, and they wouldn't hire me because of my degrees.
Yeah.
But not because they didn't have jobs, just because I was too smart. They wanted someone that wasn't going to get a job, that wasn't going to leave in 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm,
well, little did they know.
Because I'm that super smart.
Little do they know that sometimes that turns into a 3-year career, a la Best Buy. Man, this got really depressing today. I don't work at Best Buy anymore. I'm above that.
Yeah, he's better than you. If you work at Best Buy, Pat's better than you.
No, that's not true.
What else is there to talk about?
You brought up Mark Boehme earlier.
I don't know anything about him. I just knew he was like the associate athletic director to the basketball program, right?
Yeah. But honestly, there's not much.
And Hoiberg was like, hey, we're gonna send you out of here quietly. We're going to pretend like you got a better job. But you're going to go.
There's not much that he's going to do you don't have to affect it.
You don't have connections to Bagman, so you're out.
Hoiberg probably just wants an operations guy to who he knows and likes to work with. And like, I like your personality. That's all it's going to come down to with that.
Right. I think it's going to come down to who can handle themselves appropriately around Bagman. What's his name?
Matt Abdelmassi.
Abdelmalahalu. What is it?
Abdelmassi.
That's what I said. Sure. Abdelmalahassi.
You're adding a little bit on the syllable game there.
Okay. Halamasali Abdullah.
Nailed it.
Okay. When he talks to these guys, he talks to them in coded language to let them know, like, if you know what's up, blink twice. They don't blink.
Is he an ISIS?
Yeah, he is.
He's kidnapping recruits and threatening to chop their heads off?
No. But if you don't know how to behave, okay. In college, I love you to death, Pat. I was never going to take you around my drug dealer.
Who was your drug dealer?
I'm not. This is the difference between me and you. You ask stupid questions like, what's the name of your drug dealer? And I don't.
You can just give me a first name.
John.
Okay, that could be any number of Johns on campus. Right. It wasn't John. I can read you. See? I got game.
My point is that Abdelmassi.
Abdelmassi was your drug dealer?
No, Abdelmassi. He's not going to take some guy like Brome, who doesn't know his...
Mark Boehme.
He's not going to take a guy like Mark Boehme around a bag man, because a bag man's going to say something stupid like, what's the name of your bag man? You know what I'm saying? Hey, what are you going to do with all that money? Like, that's the kind of dumb shit.
Well, that's a stupid question anyway, because like, you can do lots of things with money.
No, because Matt the Abdelmassi correct answer is I'm going to give it to homeboy from Texas that plays basketball. It's a 5-star that wants to play for Hoiberg.
Well, I'd still have a lot more questions. Which homeboy from Texas? Is he a power forward or a small forward? Does he have a good 3-point shot?
Yeah, those questions don't matter. That's not your job. Your job is to silently take money from point A to point B and shut the fuck up.
That's not even his job anyway. Even in a bagman oriented program, that's not Mark Boehme's job. He's there to like program the halftime entertainment.
Well, that's the problem. See, so Mark Boehme's probably trying to get in on those memes with a bagman when his job is to put hot dogs in a shooter, you know? Like, that's his job. His job is to make sure there's hot dogs prepared to be shot into the audience. But he's trying to talk to Bagman. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but now I'm sold.
You got to get rid of him.
Mark Boehme needed to go.
You got to get a
know
guy.
Know your role, Mark Boehme.
That looks a lot like Abdelmassi in a mustache. You got to get that guy.
Man, I'm excited for basketball, too.
I am, too.
I'm just... And honestly, I'm really growing... The Will Bolt hire is really growing on me too. I'm just excited for all of it right now.
I have to start your?
No, that's it.
Okay.
I mean, we did finally start recruiting Nebraska kids.
We all know how much I care about that.
There's a good amount of talent in the state.
Great. As long as they're a good amount of talent, that's what we're getting them. But the Nebraska thing means nothing to me.
No. They just don't let it go elsewhere if it's good.
Like, yeah, I agree with. If you're losing the good talent from Nebraska, then you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, don't just get Nebraska kids to get Nebraska kids.
Right, a la Riley.
He didn't do a lot of Nebraska recruiting.
He tried. Right?
Pretty futilely.
But wasn't he the one that was always, like, talking about how he was going to bring in Nebraska kids, but then, like, lost all the major ones, like Noah Fant? Well, that started with Bo.
Well, the other thing he did, he did the whole pander to Nebraska thing and get a guy who's just there to focus on walk-ons. But then he brought that guy over from Oregon State. It's like, dude.
Who?
Mike Riley hired a guy whose sole job was basically to recruit walk-ons, but he came from Oregon State.
Oh, right. So the guy doesn't know anything about the walk-on.
The state of Nebraska. Right. Yeah. Like, don't pander anymore at that point. Don't worry about walk-ons if you're not going to actually care about walk-ons.
Right.
Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. Mike Riley also looked like a stupid dog trying to find his own shit to eat.
He looked like a dog who, you know those dogs that you go to the shelter and you're like, oh, they came from a real bad home. And they're just like, you bring them home and they're scared for like 10 more years.
Yeah.
Mike Riley looked like that dog. Like he just had no positive body language.
That also probably is his own shit.
Because he's scared. Because he has PTSD.
Because he doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from.
Right.
But just like Scott,
he thinks he's
going to
be
like
left
Scott
out
Frost,
in the rain.
I don't care why you eat your own shit. The fact that you eat your own shit is all that matters.
Why did you say just like Scott Frost?
Because Scott Frost says, if you don't do something because you can't or you won't, either way, it's the same.
Right.
If you eat your shit, I don't care if it's because you're scared or because you're stupid. If you eat your own shit, eat your own shit.
This is true. You're just dropping pearls of wisdom today.
I am, dude.
Yeah. So what...
I do every day.
I feel like there were more topics during the Facebook Live today. That doesn't normally happen.
Well, we talked about Nixon.
Oh, yeah, the potential replacement for Watts. People cannot see you doing the Richard Nixon V on this audio-only podcast.
Not the Richard Nixon V, the Richard Nixon peace signs. I am not a crook. I nailed that.
You know what would have been funny if he'd have brought those Vs under his chin afterward and then just started licking out?
That would have been really funny.
Just do the cuddling.
I am not a crook. Nobody would care about what Trump did at that point. They would be like, you know what? Trump's fine.
Because he didn't do the cunnilingus thing?
Well, because if Richard Nixon does the cunnilingus in 1976, grab him by the pussy just doesn't have the same effect. It's like Howard Stern was offensive in the 90s. Doing Howard Stern's dick now is... The presidents are licking their fingers like a vagina in the 70s. In 2019, you're going to have to kill a broad on live television.
Fair point.
I mean, right?
Yeah. 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 Good point.
Telling him, yeah, I just, what did he say? I just get on him like a bitch or something like that. Or
something like that.
I mean, God, he's not even good at it. I wish I could listen.
It's rich guy being bad with women.
Yeah. It's like the equivalent of like, hey, honey. Hey, you want to get on this dick, girl? It's like the rich guy version of that.
Yeah.
I just came on her tits. She said no, but I was like, whatever. I'm rich. I'm Donald Trump. I am not a crook.
Cluster Johnson sent us a video of...
You're done with all my presidential...
Yeah.
Okay.
He sent us a video of a Trump impersonator. I don't know why, but the guy was really good.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we do some tweets?
Okay.
King J Hip, he and the Informer are our two reliable live tweeters while listening to the Cobcast. K King J Hip. It was one of a few people who said, Google Cowhole, quoting you from last week.
Yeah.
He loved it. A lot of people loved that line. Let's see. He also says, do I hear a new podcast coming? Hands Under the Taint with Pat Tweedy and Grant Wistrom. And he says, quote, if a fool thinks you're a fool, are you really a fool? Tell Mr. T to tone it down.
Yeah.
Did you say that last week?
I don't know what he's talking about. Because he could be talking about, do we have a conversation about Mr. T? Because he said, I pity the fool.
I don't know.
Do we have a conversation where I remember. Said, I probably said something really smart and he's like, hey man, too smart. Please don't say so many smart things.
Yeah. He also thinks the earthquake is God being mad at Southern California.
I don't blame it. I don't blame God for being mad.
It's Grant Wistrom doing box jumps.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Scott he's landing improperly.
What?
He's landing improperly.
He's just got a lot of muscle though.
Yeah, but
it's a lot of weight.
What proved that he was Grant Wistrom would be as if he could land on a box jump that should shake the earth, but you don't feel it. That means he landed like an angel.
All right. Is Grant Wistrom farting then?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what an earthquake is.
Scott Dice says, too bad the earthquake wasn't in Colorado or Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Count Istvan says, has there ever been another team that opened up with a 64-21 win and closed with a 62-24 win? I'm going to say the odds are long. It seems unlikely that a team did something that specific.
I don't know what
95, Nebraska opened up with a 43-point win and then closed with a 38-point win.
Oh.
The scores being very similar. Scott also says that he hopes we're okay after the earthquake. We're good.
Yeah.
Alive, as far as I can tell. There's a Colorado fan who's not a dick to us, largely.
What's his name?
Christopher Folletta.
Okay.
That's not the same as Happy Angry Andy, the one who just talks shit.
Yeah.
He says, I always viewed the Omaha World Herald as a Husker booster club. Then again, I was living out there from 1994 to 2001, a.k.a. the glory years. Yeah, the people who think the World Herald is hard on Nebraska, I don't understand. The World Herald is pretty homery.
I don't read the World Herald because that magazine, first of all, it's an Iowa magazine.
It's a newspaper.
I mean, what newspaper? It's an Iowa newspaper.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Omaha, Iowa. The Omaha World Herald.
You're trying to get us killed.
The Omaha Register. That's what they should change it to.
I can't support this.
But I never read it. They can't, the writers aren't very good.
I think they're fine.
I'd rather just ask me what I think, and I'll tell myself what I think, and it's far superior.
Okay, fair enough. Man, we got a lot of replies this week. I want to get to some of these other ones. There was another one, another Colorado fan who was actually kind of decent and was talking about recruiting back and forth with us. That was the pride and the tradition. I'm so thrown off, like, when Colorado fans are decent.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with that I'm doing my best to avoid Twitter, so I'm not there to fan the flames.
But they weren't saying anything like inflammatory. That Happy Angry Andy dude is only there to say inflammatory things. Mm-hmm. It's just like, so I mentioned this week, and it's why I now basically just ignore the guy, because it's like TJ Simers, who used to write for the LA Times, and Woody Page, who used to write for the Denver Post. Well, and now like 247, some of the sites. People have found there's a market in pissing off Nebraska.
Yeah.
Because Nebraska fans take it so seriously and respond, and like, just ignore it and it'll go away, or yeah, you'll never even see it. It can be hard, but like, people see the value in riling up Nebraska fans. So just don't give them the pleasure, you know?
Yeah. Or fight them.
Yeah. There's that too. Greg Seelock is excited for Scott Frost hanging 70 on Colorado in September.
What if we do?
Hang 70 on him?
What if it's 56-3 with 6 minutes left in the game and Scott Frost is still trying to drop 80-yard bombs on him?
The media will eviscerate him.
And all he has to say is, oh, my bad.
Adam Bjornsson also said Google cowhole. That might be your most popular tweet or popular quote on the Cobcast. Did they do it? What?
Did they do it?
I think one person said they did, and it was a mistake.
Yeah. It's weird.
And he says, also, Pat, Kick Joe and Ryan missed the main part. It's a living cow.
Oh, yeah. It is a living cow. I saw that. I think that's Bjornsson that said that, right?
Yeah.
I like reading his name because in my head, I always say Bjornsson. Like, it sounds funny
like
in my head.
Like he's a Swedish chef?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder what these people look like in real life, because I have I have made a lot of the Twitter people into characters in my head. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I don't know what they look like, so I just had to fill in all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to get in our obligatory Ryan Pelu tweet, hashtag Kick Joe.
Hashtag Kick Joe.
Agreed. A lot of people excited about the Polar Bear Express.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You know what? That'll do for now.
Yeah, we're at an hour.
We are.
We fulfilled our hourly.
Our hourly duties?
Yeah, we should do a... I'm leaving soon, so we should think about doing a bonus episode before I go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast.
Follow us on Patreon / Big Red Cobcast.
Facebook.com/Cobcast. There are still Hawkeye Tears water bottles.
Yes. A couple left.
I haven't asked inventory on that in a while.
Yeah, it's a few left.
Cool. And that $25 covers shipping.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that people will buy the remaining ones before the season.
So we can make another order?
We can buy more before the season. But I'm not going to buy more when there's still some here.
Yeah, I get that. Is that it?
Fat rides a bus.
Fatty rides a bus.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.